Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, Ravens Nation. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call, a podcast celebrating the Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. This podcast is by the fans, for the fans. Thank you for listening so far. Enjoy your freedom of speech by downloading the show completely for free on iTunes, Stitcher, or thecall.brandocash.com. Now, it wouldn't be The Call if I wasn't joined by my good buddy. What's going on, man? What's up, Josh?
Hey, man. Hey, fans. How y'all doing today?
You know what? We got a lot of Ravens news to cover here, so let's just go right into it.
I know. We're doing a lot better than Pitta, right?
Well, here's the thing, though. Last week, man, you and I were discussing on the phone. We're like, let's not do a show since training camp is just starting up. Let's give it a week and see if anything will happen. And, man, has some stuff happen. We got to talk about Dennis Pitta, the guy, you know, he was in training camp, and pretty serious injury to his hip. How is this going to affect the offense? I know a lot of people say, well, next man up. But you got to think, this is really going to affect Flacco's game, because Pitta was one of Flacco's favorite targets.
Yeah, actually, he was. And he was that security blanket. I wrote a blog about this, and I even mentioned how Suggs dubbed him the white tight end, can't go home without him, and, you know, going off to MasterCard. So we've had a little humor throughout the I think we call it, pepperoni pizza, because Flacco's favorite.
Right, yes.
I think we poked fun at that. So, with all that being said, it's a huge loss to the offense, huge loss to the Ravens in general. You never want to see this kind of news, especially, you know, after a Super Bowl win, we're all riding high. You know, going into the next season, we're defending champs, and we lose one of our great offensive weapons. Mind you that we already lost a variety of weapons on offense and defense, Anquan Boldin on the offensive side. So it's kind of, you don't want to preach doom and gloom, but you kind of look at it as a positive spin. You know what? You're going to hear these three words, next man up, next man up. I don't want them to be beaten into the ground, Brandon, but that's what it's about. That's what a book written about the 2000 Ravens and 2001 Ravens was, next man up. The Ravens are always about that. Someone gets hurt, next guy's going to fill the void, and then look what happens. You know, they overturn, and they go elsewhere. Like Ellerby, I mean, he stepped up, had a credible year. He's gone. Kruger had a great postseason. He's gone. So it gives these guys a chance to step up. I'm telling you right now, we lost, Webb, Ray in the same game. We had Suggs out for 6 weeks, and we were Super Bowl champs. And Nada was pretty banged up throughout the year, and he had that knee injury in Super Bowl. So there's no gray area. It's black and white. Okay, Pitt's hurt. He's out for the year. First, it was, okay, he'll be out week one with a dislocated hip. Now with a fracture, and out for the season. I feel bad for the poor guy, because he was going in a contract year, fourth season. He caught a catch in Super Bowl. He had some catches. I remember the first catch as a rookie after we let Heap go and we drafted this guy. We were in Philadelphia for the first preseason game, and I remember this vividly. Flacco threw like a 30-yard pass right down the middle, and I was like, Heap who? Who's this Dennis Pitta guy? And number 88 proved to be a force in the offense, and it really sucks to see, because Jim Caldwell was going to take over the reins this year, first full year. I wanted to see how he was going to be utilized. So it's a huge loss.
Yeah, you know, Dennis Pitta, he became a fan favorite very quickly. He was a guy that a lot of people cheered for, and you always knew you could count on Pitta. Flacco and Pitta were this great duo, really. But Pitta out for the year because of a dislocated hip. Now that we know he's out for the year, let me ask your opinion on this. Where does this leave his playing career? Because a dislocated hip, I mean, if you damage that hip, You're never the same again. Do you think this is going to be something that Pitta will be able to come back from eventually?
It's very tough to say, because as the hip, that's utilized more often than you think. because you got to turn, you got to turn around. It depends on his reconstruction, his rehab, what they actually did, what the actual extent was. I mean, they say it was a hip, it went from a dislocation to a fracture. Who's to say it was a clean break? We don't really know. I mean, I'm not a doctor. If I was, I wouldn't be doing a podcast, would I? But, you know, needless to say, or at least by the Ravens, I'd be doing a medical podcast besides the point. I'm no doctor, so I just look at it this way. Fractured hip does not sound pleasing. If Webb can come back, but you look at what else, you know, Adrian Peterson coming back from his knee injury and being the year that he had last year, what an incredible year. I mean, you got to look at that. I mean, Suggs came back from the Achilles injury. We thought all hope was lost. He came back and proved to be a force. You look at Webb, he's coming back this year. He had his both of his knees been tore up. So you come a guy who, you got Ladarius Webb, who's one of the most reliable players on our team. He's had both of his knees torn apart. So you really don't know. I think it's going to affect his long term. Absolutely. That's my long answer. It's very hard to determine what could happen. Is he, because he was going to be a free agent, and I think he was going to be gone after this year, honestly, because he was probably going to be offered a buttload of money, and who's to say the Ravens would have had enough to sign him? Who knows? I mean, I don't know what it would have demanded, but we got to make up for it. And it's definitely something to see, especially after Jeremy Macklin went down and right up the road in Philadelphia, and then news broke that Pitta went down. It was kind of like, really? This isn't really good start to all season right now for any team, you know, let alone us. I hate it. I hate reporting about it. I hate it, but it's one of those things where it's part of the game. They're going to have casualties and war and battles, and unfortunately, it sucks that it was with their own guys out there trying to run drills. And even one of our safeties who was covering him, he said it wasn't even that bad. So I think it was just the way he fell, probably, that he fell right on his hip.
Yeah, you never, ever want to see something like this happen, especially to your own team. But best of luck to Dennis Pitta, Josh and I from the call, wishing you, a speedy recovery. And I'm hoping this doesn't, force like a retirement or anything like that. I hope Pitta comes back in some way, shape, or form, because he is such a great talent, and he's a huge part of this team. But shifting the spotlight right now, we're looking at another, tight end that has seen a little bit of play here. But we got to talk about Ed Dixon real quick. He hasn't had as many plays as Pitta, but how does he stack up against Pitta? Do you think Ed Dixon's going to be a guy that we can count on this season?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if anybody's been, obviously people follow me on Twitter because they always comment, but I was this weekend just very excited about the season, so I was reminiscing about last year, and I popped in the DVD, and we'll go on this real quick. Speaking of Ed Dixon. Going off of that, it was game one, the wild card game, Ray's last game at home against the Colts in the playoffs. Second offensive player of the game for us, because we got the ball second, was it was an Ed Dixon pass right up the sideline for 24 yards. I even tweeted, I tweeted about the play, and I said, we need to see more of this season. I hope Ed Dixon steps up. One of the things that's inconsistent is his hands, because Pitta had the hands. I think Ed Dixon has the athletic ability. It's just let's see it happen. I don't know about his pass blocking skills yet. Have yet to see more, because I know Pitta was a great force in that, and that's another big loss with Pitta's game is his pass blocking and pass defense. So it's just very interesting to see, and this is where preseason gets exciting. I know the fans are like, boring, let's get to regular season, but this is where we have to watch these four preseason games, because we need to see these guys and what they can do. And then not only with Ed Dixon, but the new guy, Vasante Shenka, who we signed, a free agent, who had his playing days in the other purple, which were the Vikings. He had some good years there, and later part of the years, like maybe 2-3 years ago. So if him and Ed Dixon can really prove that security blanket for Flacco, instead of using Grace's check downs and with the addition, or after safety, subtraction of Anquan Boldin from the lineup, this is going to be very interesting to see, and this is why I'm excited about preseason, to tell you what.
Yeah, preseason is pretty close. It's a little over a week away. We're going to be able to enjoy some football pretty soon. But let's talk about this new tight end that these guys got. It's a one-year contract. And say his name one more time for me, because I can't say it correctly.
Vasante Shenka.
Vasante Shenka. Okay.
Yeah. You know how we were trying to do the Colicchio Simelli last year?
That's right.
So we have another one this year.
it's always good to keep us on our toes. This is what these guys are trying to do.
I actually got his name pulled up here. It's spelled Vista. T-H-E, and his last name is S-H-I-N-C-O-E. Not that we're doing a spelling bee, Ravens edition or anything, but that's the Asante Shanko spelled out, but hopefully it spells out as a good asset to us in the offense. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, this guy, I don't think they would have signed him if Pitta hadn't gotten hurt, but it seems like he's got a good track record. He's a 10-year veteran. Last season he was with the New England Patriots, so it seems like this guy's kind of hungry and that he wants to continue his career. He actually went to school at Morgan State in Baltimore.
That's right.
So that's very interesting. Yeah, it's good to see. So we're the Super Bowl champion team, so of course you want to come in and join and be a part of that. But here's something I've heard a few people say over on Facebook when I put a message out that this guy got picked up. Some people were bringing up Todd Heap's name because he's a free agent this year, and they're around the same age. So why do you think the Ravens went this way they decided not to re-sign Todd Heap?
Probably the injuries. if there was one thing about Heap that we could probably say badly, it was he could not stay healthy. I think it was more the injury bug. I mean, why we're going to replace a guy who just went out for a season, we're going to replace another guy who could go up, catch a pass, and he could be done for the year. I'm not bashing Heap in any way. I'm just being real and saying that I don't think they would go after a Heap. I think that's why they let him go. It was just time to part ways. It's the same thing that could be said about any player. But I think they went more, and I don't know the birthdays, I don't know the ages and the whole, because it's still new. I mean, I haven't researched enough of Shanko against Heap or against former tight ends that we've had. I mean, I'd love to do it next show. I'm more happy to really see how he stacks up. But maybe it was it an age factor? Was it an athletic factor? But, right player, right price. I mean, we signed him for the league minimum just under $1 million, like $900,000 plus. So budgeting-wise, it worked out perfect. We're going to get a better tight end, hopefully, than we could have had probably in-house. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm just going to say right now it's an okay signing. I'm not saying go to great. Now, if he comes lighting up the preseason and he's doing great and blowing out and drills and training camp and I'm there live to see it and I see this guy doing stuff great, then I might upgrade my okay to good status. And if he does some great things on the field, then let's see it. But, again, he fits the play like a Raven profile. Ozzie doesn't sign anybody that plays less. No, we know that. And I heard he's going to be wearing Anquan's number 81. So, got big shoes to fill with that jersey number.
Yeah, this guy, he's a veteran, so I think he's definitely going to bring something to the team. It'll be very interesting to see what he does, but he's a guy who he's got a 1-year contract, so it's one and done pretty much. So if you want to stick around, you really got to show off your best work. But hopefully, this guy brings something to the table. He's a veteran, he's got 10 years. In the NFL, so you don't go 10 years without learning something. So hopefully he brings...
No, absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully he brings something to the team here. But let's talk about another signing, which I just got to say, I am ecstatic that this news broke today. I am so happy that this guy is back in the Ravens purple. Vonte Leach back in the building for the Baltimore Ravens. That's right.
The bruiser.
He was one of my favorite players on the Super Bowl team. I absolutely love the work that he's done in the past. I think this is a great pickup for the Ravens. I'm glad that he came back. I think the reason why this got done today is because, again, this all relates back to Pitta. I think because Pitta will not be utilized, maybe throwing to Pitta, that maybe they don't have as much confidence in Ed Dixon than they did in Dennis Pitta. Who knows why this really happened? But my line of thinking is they want to utilize Ray Rice more now because they're losing one of their targets in Dennis Pitta. So they need that guy to protect Ray Rice because there is nobody better to protect Ray Rice than Vonte Leach. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts, I could agree with you on that point, Brandon. If you look at the scheme of things, you're right. It kind of could change the scheme of the offense. So maybe we have to look at it a different way. And not only in run blocking situations, but he provides that pass blocking ability. I mean, he's the league's best fullback, top 100 player, NFL. He provides a great asset, and especially if we're going to go to the 1-2 punch of Rice and Pierce, I think it's going to provide a great asset. Now, one of my flaws against him was his hands, because a lot of times he would be wide open in the flat, Joe would throw to him, and it was like him being a bruiser, he has his brick hands, and it's just he would drop the ball, and not that I don't know if that's a weak part of his game, I don't know number one, I don't know him personally. Number two, I don't know how, you know, I don't watch his game closely enough to know that, but the plays that I've seen, that was one of the things like, come on, man, you got to catch it out of the backfield. And there was a couple in the postseason, there was a couple in the regular season, especially games where it was right in front of me. I'm like screaming, Leach, they throw it to him, and he flat out drops the ball. And Jamal Lewis had that problem. So I don't know if it's just with these big, burly guys that obviously they don't have the soft hands, but the Ravens know what they're doing. They signed him to a two-year deal. I love it. I'm very ecstatic. I even tweeted him, welcome back. I'm glad to see him back in purple and black, man. This is going to be something exciting. Plus, we need all the offensive help we can get to keep Joe upright, to help protect and to help clear the way for Rice and Pierce. And who knows, you know, you're right. You know, if he can get, you know, clear some air and some space out in the middle field, if we can get the tight ends floating in the middle field, it might provide a great thing for this offense to come. You know.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one to watch. But man, I'm just there are no words to say how happy I am that Leach is back. I was very sad. I mean, he was only let go a month or so ago, and I was very sad because I figured after the Super Bowl and everything that he was safe because nobody. You know, all the other guys left, and he was still around. So I'm like, man, I can't believe he survived. And then I heard he got released. But now that he's back in town, he kind of tested the free market, kind of saw that fullbacks aren't really in demand at this stage in the game. But it's great to have him back. I mean, I'm happy. I can't even imagine what Ray Rice has to think, because really, those two guys, they work so well together. And I think Ray Rice is a great player, but I think he's a better player with Vontae Leach looking out for him.
Well, I'll tell you what. Speaking of Vontae, he's a great player, and you're going to get excited because my computer just wanted to start to work. And Leach just posted, it's through Ravens.com, he posted a tweet pic, said, Ravens Nation, I'm back, and they showed his picture of his locker right next to Chris Canty's. How great is that?
That's pretty cool.
So that's pretty cool. And then not only that, to have Leach back, but how about the rookie Kyle Juszczyk that we got? I'll tell you what, this will be another 1-2 punch as the fullback. We're going to have a lot of looks. I like to see it. I mean, I don't know if they have 3 and 4 tailback sets in the NFL, but I like to see like a mix where, you know, we have a double fullback, double halfback set or one halfback set and really mix it up. Because this guy, Kyle Juszczyk, I'm telling you what, he obviously he's the heir apparent to the Leach. Even Leach signed a 2-year deal. I think, you know, Leach, and then too, you have to look at it this way. Leach could be brought in too, not only for his skills, but his veteran leadership to teach this young guy the ropes at the fullback position and to really thrive. And who better learn it from than Vontae? So I'm very excited to see that. So you just can't forget about these rookies and the impacts that they could have. And you know, like I said, Leach gets, you know, we want a breather, we can throw the young guy out there. And that's why I'm excited to see preseason, because the infusion of young blood and the talent we have on this team, it can't go overlooked. I mean, the media is going to say, oh, the Steelers are favorites for Lord knows what reason. I heard that today, courtesy of the NFL Network. I don't know what they were saying. I started laughing while I was eating dinner. I was like, the Steelers are favorites in the AFC North. We're 2-time division champions back-to-back, and we just won the Super Bowl. And they're the favorites because why? Because we lost, like, what, 11 players? I'm like, give me a break. Like, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, we have our opinions on the show, but, you know, give me a break. You know, the Ravens know what they're doing, and we're defending champs for a reason. We're going to defend the title, and hopefully it all, you know, it started bad, but let's see if it all comes up to a third straight division title. So, I mean, we got to start next week, man. It's preseason upon us, bro.
That's right. And, you know, they can say everything they want about Pittsburgh. The last 2 years, I've said this on the podcast last season, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, this is not even just because I'm a Ravens fan. They just look old. They look slow, and they look old. I mean,
it's 95% because you're a Ravens fan, but they are old.
And I mean, let's not take anything away from the Steelers. They got some amazing players on there. And of course, that rivalry, that's why that rivalry is so good between the Ravens and the Steelers, because they're both great teams. But to me, I mean, they just look like an older, slower team. And right now, the NFL is fast-paced. It's
younger, better.
Yes, it's a young man's game. So to me, those Steelers just look like an old team. And that's, you know, my opinion, but You can argue all you want, but that's just what I think. So let's keep going. This isn't a Steelers podcast. This isn't the I don't even know what to call them.
No. We're not covering all the schemes they're doing because they're dirty anyway.
So what else has been going on in training camp that's kind of caught your eye?
What's been caught my eye is the health of the player, especially on defense. I've been eyeing up some of the film and seeing and just hearing chatter, fans, the few select that got to go to Owings Mills, some of the coaches, the media members. They're all saying that a lot of players are in great shape. Elvis Dumervil, our newest addition, I hear he's in the best shape of his career, and that's great because he had a heck of a year in, what, I think 2009 or 10 when he had one of the highest sack campaigns of his career. Suggs, heard he's in great shape. I heard somewhere along the line he shed like 20 pounds, so he's coming in later. So, and that's what they need to get off the line. If they can get off the line quick, I heard Chris Canty's even in great shape. If these guys can stay in great shape, I even heard Nada was out there, you know, drawing it up with Flacco, and Nada was in the backfield right now. So I'm telling you what, if this offense, offense, we've been talking offense the whole show, this defense rises to the occasion, I don't think nobody's getting through that middle. I think Art Brown, the rookie, is going to make an impact in the middle linebacker. I heard great things from Matt Elam. I'm still excited to see what Webb's going to do. They're kind of easing him back in, but I heard he looked great in warm-ups. I'm very excited. I mean, apart from the fact that McKinney came in a little bit over, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because the Ravens wouldn't re-sign him unless everything was fine. We knew McKinney has his issues, but I think Brian McKinney will be fine. Overall, I'm pleased. It's just hard to see in these little warm-up drills and camps. I want to see full-game speed, but from what I hear, and going off of this, I want to touch this on the show. I'm glad you brought up what observations I'm seeing. Joe Flacco has emerged as the leader. Bray dubbed him as the next general, quote unquote, and he is taken. I heard one of my good friends post a Facebook post that Flacco yelled BS because he thought the play resulted in touchdown and it was a callback or something. He was drawing it with Suggs and Nada, and he was saying a few choice words. I mean, that's what you want in your quarterback as a team leader. Now, you want him fired up. You know, he gets flack for being Joe Cool, but, I mean, he's out there yelling, complaining. You know, he's got that fire, and he wants to win. He wants to win even in team drills. So it just shows you that if that carries over in the swagger to the offense, we could be seeing some good things this year without even really complaining about it.
Yeah, you know, this has been kind of crazy, the fact that we've gone, you know, almost a half hour into the podcast and just talking about offense. Who would have ever thought the Baltimore Ravens would have had an offense, you know?
I even say the offense instead of defense because this team has been defensive-oriented, right?
Right. But we got to bring up Suggs here. He's the guy that we thought was going to be the new leader on the defense now that Ray Lewis is retired. But Terrell Suggs, they said this is the Suggs of old. That's what I've been hearing a lot of reports of, that this is the guy who's not hurt in any way, that he's completely healed, that he's healthy, he's leaner, he's meaner, and we're expecting to see him play at full speed during every Sunday's game. So that's something I'm very happy to see, that Terrell Suggs is out there and that he's giving it all he can, because he's definitely going to be a big part here. This is his defense now, I got to say. I mean, he's the one that a lot of people are going to be looking to for leadership on the defensive end of the ball.
I agree. Really, I couldn't agree with you more there, because if he shows up and Rex had it like 2011, who knows, the sky's the limit. And he's the unquestioned leader of the defense now, and it's his line, his defense. They're going to listen to him, and even with the veteran of Dumervil, I don't think Dumervil is going to come in and run the house, but the veterans are going to listen to it, or I'm going to say the veterans will, but everybody should, and the rookies are going to take notice. And I think with 58 and 55 leading the example, it's just weird to say no 52. I just realized that, but I might cry for a minute. But no 52 out there. We have to lead this team. You got Joe Flacco on offense, Terrell Suggs on defense. We had the leaders in house to get it done. Harbs have been great. Harbs has just been, you know, with the whole, I don't know if anybody saw, but taking the team to Gettysburg and having the six bayonet shirts and motivating Terrell Suggs to say a few choice words. And the team meeting I heard was electric, and it kind of got the team's attention, saying even though we're champs, that's all behind us, and they're gunning for us. Now with the injuries, you know, that's where the whole fixed bayonet shirts came from, if anybody didn't know. When Harbaugh took the team to Gettysburg, basically what he was telling is a story of how they charged downfield into the fire. Instead of, firing bullets back, they just fixed the bayonets and charged. And that's what Harbaugh was saying. He goes, the bullets are going to be flying at us left and right, and we're just going to suit up for battle, fix our bayonets and charge at them, and we're not going to take it anymore. So I love it. And it just pumps you up. You get ready for the season. I'm really excited to see how it's all going to work out in Tampa Bay next Thursday night. I just can't wait to actually see real good Ravens football finally on the television since February. And let's make it another long 6 months. I'd like to do another podcast run deep into January and even doing another Super Bowl show. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, it's a new season. We're all 0-0. We got to get that first game. And that first game is going to be a doozy. And speaking of that, another injury. I wanted to tell you guys, speaking of the first game, the Broncos have suffered an injury. I don't know if you know this, Brandon, but their center, Dan Coppin, you remember him, he was from New England, veteran center. He tore his ACL in practice. He's out for the year. So Peyton Manning's out as veteran center and the pass block. So that's going to be very interesting. That could be a nice storyline leading up to week one.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see. We'll see what happens. Coming up, and who knows what this will be. I mean, Denver versus Baltimore again. I think Denver is still a little ticked off about how things went down last time
We
were in Denver. So that'll definitely be a fun game to see. We'll talk about week one once that gets a little bit closer. But coming up this weekend, man, I know you got big plans. You got to tell everybody what you got going on this weekend.
What I got going on is I still can't believe I'm going up. Fans and folks, I'm tickled to death, boy. I'll be up in Canton, Ohio, and not only for just any ordinary trip, but I will be. This is pretty incredible. Me and Children's thinking about it. I will be at Ogden's, not only Ogden's enshrinement, but the rest of the Hall of Famers that are going to be there. But how about Jonathan Ogden, our very first Ravens draft pick? Who, you know, obviously we had the void since 1983 here in Baltimore. Didn't have a team. You know, for 13 years they brought football back, and Ogden. And obviously, along with Ray Lewis, will be there in the next 5 years. How about that? The first two pieces that established this team, and for the first time, this team will out be number 75 or 52 out there. We're going to see him get inducted live. I will be there. I'm making the trip up Friday, Purple Friday style caravan. We're going out, me and my buddy. I can't feel the car going. We're staying outside of Canton, Ohio, and we're going to do it. We're going to see Ogden enshrined live. And I get to tour a Pro Football Hall of Fame on Sunday, and then we actually go in the Hall of Fame game, Dolphins-Cowboys. So we're going to take in some live preseason football. It's going to be great, man. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm going to come back charged up. Wow, I just can't say enough. This is going to be incredible. It's going to be a sight to see, to remember the career of Ogden. He was a great, great asset in our offense for those years he was in Baltimore. You know, helped win the 2000, you know, he had a world championship in 2000 with the team. I'm just, you know, what a Hall of Fame career. I mean, he went in Pro Bowl except his rookie year. So from 97 to 2010, he was a regular in the Pro Bowl. He was a regular out there. Rarely missed a game, but he had those two injuries late in his career, and that kind of probably put him on the shelf earlier than he wanted to. But we're going to celebrate the career of Jonathan Ogden. I know how we all were excited when Super Bowl Eve. We knew he was going to be one of the finalists, and now it's a reality. It's this weekend. I've been waiting for this all summer after we won the Super Bowl, and here it is. I'll be reporting up there, tweeting pictures, maybe get some fan reaction. I want to try to get some fan sound, and anybody's made the trip. And even, hey, if we have some fans over in Ohio, and maybe start stirring a pot if we find any other fans, because there's going to be a lot of fans up there. I mean, obviously, it's the Hall of Fame. You're going to have the Cowboys fans up there, Dolphins fans. Bill Parcells is inducted. There's a Cowboy going to be inducted. Curly Pope's going to be inducted. And even the great Warren Sapp and Chris Carter. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And I think it's this is going to be a unique spin on a perspective on our shows. And I really can't wait to really tell y'all. I mean, just even on the airwaves, it doesn't get a chance to show all the joy and the excitement that I'm going to partake of. But if anybody's been up there, please feel free to tweet me and give me some insight. But I really can't wait to tour the Hall of Fame. Have you been up there at any?
I have not, no. So this is going to be – I'm going to live through you because I'm going to get to hear all about it, and I can't wait to hear it.
Five years, Ray's up there, so we're going to have to go up there and do it big.
Exactly. I'm totally down for that one, man.
Oh, yeah, 5 years playing it.
What I want you to do, man, record as much as you can. Record you and your buddy in the car on the drive there. You know, record going to the game. You know, any kind of audio. Let's do like a mini audio documentary about your trip, you know, to the Hall of Fame. I think that would be – That would be kind of fun to hear. So that's really cool. But you know, in case people are listening to this, the exact moment that we post this, man, I just want to bring this up. We don't have to talk too much about it, but on Tuesday night at Hooters, you are in a contest where you're going small town, you know, small town podcast, and you're getting a chance to do some real radio work, man. So tell everybody about that, because that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Brandon, thank you very much. Obviously, you know, I don't like to put that all out there, but I appreciate you putting me in a spot. I don't mind it. Thanks for that. But, fans, I will tell you that tomorrow at Hooters, I know it's last short notice if you get the show, but I'm partaking on a finalist for the locals Baltimore Sports Superstar Search, and I want to do this all my life. As you know, the passion I carry in the podcast, that'll never stop, but I'm just very excited to bring what I have to the table. I was a final finalist called up last week, or not last week, but like 3 weeks ago. I was 14 out of 14 picks, so it was kind of the whole I got picked last kind of deal, but I made it. So I'm very excited, privileged. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night. I'm probably going to talk Ravens and Orioles. Obviously, more Ravens than not, but I love all Baltimore sports. I love this town, love this city. It's my culture, and you all know it's what I love to do. And, you know, Brandon, you know, and I thank you for, you know, allowing me to, you know, use another form in the podcast and the blogging and the tweeting, and it just allowed me to be a part of your network, man. I knew last year was a special year for us, and hey, you know, we can never top that, and we'll always remember that. And if we, you know, I would never say this, but if the Ravens never won the championship, obviously we'll remember that for the rest of our lives, because you know, we covered, you know, the second title, and I'm just very excited to see all around. But anyway, it's at Hooters in Towson at 7 p.m. Come out, you know, get some great food, enjoy some good local sports talk with me and 13 other young up-and-coming stars, and let's see if you can take the crown. That'd be great if I can have another avenue to show my passion and have the fans enjoy my love for the Baltimore sports scene. And it's pretty much what I have to say about it. But again, you know, I'm very excited for the opportunity. It's going to be a great week. You know, obviously it starts today with the podcasting, goes through the contest, and then culminates with an enshrinement and a football game on Sunday. And this is going to be a great week to start the NFL year.
Absolutely. This is going to be a good time, man. Tomorrow, we're recording this Monday night on the 29th of July. Tomorrow night at Hooters. Come out and support Josh and let him know that you're behind him. I'll be there rooting him on. And, man, this has been a fun podcast to record over the last year or so. And there's nobody else better that I could have asked to co-host this show with me. So best of luck in this contest, man. And I'm really rooting for you for this one. And I hope you remember all us little podcasters when you got your own radio show.
Like I said, I don't think I'd ever fade because I love doing it. And, but you're right. You know, if I go on the bigger and better things, you know, you never forget your roots, but this is fun. I'm not saying goodbye ever, but, you know, it's kind of like an awesome thing because it's just like it's another thing you get to do to have fun with, to cover your team, get to, you know, really put your opinions out there or thoughts and really get everybody talking. And, you know me, you know, if once you get me talking on a topic, I can take just a pit of thing and go an hour just alone. But, you know, and we can break that down and dissect it any way we want. But this is what we do. We are passionate. We're opinionated. We talk. We put our thoughts out there. And then we get the pot stirring no matter what. But when it comes down to it, we love our Ravens, we love our city, and I can't wait for a 2013 campaign to get started.
Absolutely. We're just fans. We're just fans that like to talk football. That's why we started this podcast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's as much as I love the Ravens and the Capitals and anything else I like to talk about, I love podcasting even more because it's just talking, man. It's you know, where there's no hostility or anything like that.
It's just talk.
It's just talking about what you love to talk about. So that's what we like to do for people. So is there anything else that that we should talk about?
If not, Ed Reed doesn't got it because he's retired, and we're not retired, but he's a Texan. So we need to get a new slogan because every time you ask me that, I keep wanting to say, if not, Ed Reed's got it because I said it, what, like 20 times last year at least? So, man, we say, but yeah, we have a month to get our little kinks out so we can get a nice little slogan there for a little send off. But obviously, we'll still fly high at the end of every podcast. But again, I think you got the idea. I think the Raven has think the Raven is went back to his nest for this one.
All right, that's that sounds pretty good. So,
for now.
So before we end this show, thank you for listening to the show so much. Now, of course, you know, we love talking about the Baltimore Ravens. If you love us talking about the Baltimore Ravens, let people know about the call. That is the only way that this show will get bigger and better than it already is, because it's pretty good already. But let people know. Just let, you know, talking to friends, you know, tweet them, be social with it. So tweet them, Facebook them, put it on Pinterest, on Tumblr, put it on Vine if you want. Anything you guys can think of about being social, if it's just going up and telling a friend, let them know about the call and that you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, and that if they're one too, they should check us out and they should really listen to us, because we're giving you this show completely for free every single week throughout the season. Absolutely free. I mean, it's free.
What's better than free, guys? Come on.
You don't have to do anything, and this is pretty much on-demand radio. Listen to it when you want to. You know, we're not keeping telling you to tune in at 8 o'clock. You know, you don't have to do that. Put it on in your car. Put it on when you're working out, when you're cutting the grass, whatever you want to do. This is completely for free. There's many ways that you can listen to us as well. The call is on iTunes, so all you have to do is go into iTunes, the iTunes store, search The Call, and then click the subscribe button, and every single time there's a brand new episode posted, it will get downloaded directly into your iTunes. You don't have to do a thing, which is pretty cool. And if you have an iPhone, iPod, iPad, you can get the podcast app and you can subscribe right there. So it will come to you wirelessly through your device. And I got to also say congratulations to iTunes. They had their 1 billionth download of a podcast this past week. So
wow. I wonder if it was ours.
I think it should have been. If it wasn't,
that would have been crazy.
But we're a little cog in that 1 billionth, but I got to say I'm pretty proud to be a little cog in that 1 billionth
podcast.
Hey, but
we're one of the billion.
Exactly. We're one of the billion.
We're one in a billion. Come on, guys. The ladies got to hear that one. Come on, we're one in a billion.
That's pretty cool.
We're two guys and one of a billion. Now, come on. Now you got to listen.
Got to listen to a podcast that is 1 in a billion. I love that.
Got to have fun, Brandon. Got to have fun.
I think that should be our new slogan at the bottom of our cover art. 1 in a billion.
The call for 1 in a billion. Yeah, that'll be great. That'll go real well.
I love that. All right, so if you don't have an Apple device, if you're somebody who likes more of the Android stuff, you can go onto Stitcher, even if you do have an Apple product. Don't get me wrong there. You can also download it on Stitcher, but it's the Stitcher radio app on your phone or your Android device. You download Stitcher. Again, you search The Call, and you make it one of your favorite stations, and then it every single time we post a new episode, it will get posted onto Stitcher as well, so you can stay mobile. Now, if you're at work or you're at home and you're bored and you use a laptop or something like that, you can go to thecall.brandocash.com and the show will be available there as well. Now, of course, if you want to stay social with Josh or I, you can go over to Twitter and you can follow me at BrandoCash. That's my personal Twitter account, but I'm always tweeting about the Ravens or about all this other kind or the Capitals or other stuff going on as well. We do have a Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Make sure you like us over there, and we'll be letting you know whenever a new episode gets down or gets uploaded, so you can download it. And Josh, where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me in all my 1 in a billion tweets at ItalianGQ52.
That's pretty cool, man. So this is pretty much it. Enjoy Ohio, Josh. This is going to be a fun weekend for you. Send us out the way you always do.
We're going to send us out and always in good Raven style. We're kicking off the 2013 season right. Let's go. Let's congrats to Jonathan Ogden. Let's go, Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.